Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a modulated jungle mid base in Ableton Live 12 using stock devices only, and we're shaping it in a way that actually works in a D&B arrangement, not just as a cool sound in solo. The big idea here is simple. In drum and bass, the bass is not just a note generator. It's part of the conversation with the drums. It has to leave space for the kick, the snare, and the break, while still feeling alive, punchy, and musical. So we're going to make a bass that moves, but in a controlled way. Enough motion to keep it interesting over 16 or 32 bars, not so much motion that it turns into chaos. And because this is about edits workflow too, we're not stopping at a single loop. We're going to build a main idea, resample it, chop it up, and turn it into arrangement material you can use for fills, turnarounds, and drop variations. Let's get into it. First, create a new MIDI track and load an instrument rack. Inside that rack, we're going to split things into two chains, one for the sub, one for the mid-bass. This separation is huge in D&B. It keeps your low end stable and your character layer flexible. On the sub chain, load operator. Keep it clean and simple. Use a sine wave only. Turn off the other oscillators. Set the envelope with a short attack, no weird sustain movement, and a release somewhere around 100 to 180 milliseconds. The goal is a steady, centered sub that supports the groove without drawing attention to itself. The sub should be boring in the best possible way. On the mid-chain, load wave-eatable. This is where the personality lives. Start with a basic saw or square-type wave-eatable. Use just two or three unison voices max, and keep the detune very light. We want thickness, not super saw madness. Think Reese adjacent, not trance-wide. If you want to set up your macros early, this is a great time. Map one macro to the mid-filter cutoff, one to drive or saturation amount later on, and one to modulation depth or a related movement control. Setting up reusable controls from the start makes the patch easier to perform and easier to edit later. Now let's write the bass phrase. Start with a 2-bar MIDI loop. Don't overbuild it yet. In D&B, a good bass line usually works because of rhythm first, sound design second. You want a phrase that leaves room for the break and responds to the snare. A strong starting point is a note on beat 1, a short pickup before beat 2 or on the end of 2, a rest around the main snare hit, and then some kind of answer phrase in the second bar. Think of it like a conversation with the drums. The bass should dodge the accents, not sit on top of them. If you're aiming for jungle, keep the notes shorter and more chopped. If you're leaning roller, you can go a little longer and a little more repetitive, but even then, leave at least one or two gaps so the groove can breathe. Use velocity variation on purpose. This is one of those small things that makes a loop feel alive. Give yourself three velocity zones: accents, normal hits, and ghost notes. For example, accents around 105 to 120, normal hits around 85 to 100, and ghost notes around 50 to 75. Those differences can change how hard the saturation and envelope respond, which means you get motion without having to automate everything. Now let's shape the mid-bass tone. On the mid-chain, after wave-eatable, add saturator, auto filter, EQ8, and utility. So the chain is wave-eatable into saturator into auto filter into EQ8 into utility. In wave-eatable, set a sensible starting tone. Use a low-pass filter if you want to control brightness from inside the synth. Give the envelope a moderate amount, not extreme. A short attack, a medium-short decay if you want a plucky feel, and a release that matches how legato or chopped you want the line to be. Now saturator. Start gently. A few dB of drive is usually enough to give the bass some attitude. Turn soft clip on. You want a bit of bark and density, not a destroyed top end right away. We can always push it more later in transitions. Then auto filter. Use low pass or band pass depending on the flavor you want. Add a little resonance, but keep it under control. We're using the filter as a movement tool, not as a whistle generator. The cutoff is going to become one of the main performance controls. EQ8 comes next. High pass the mid layer if needed, usually somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz, so it doesn't step on the sub. If it's too honky, cut a bit around 250 to 500 Hz. If it gets sharp or crunchy in an unpleasant way, tame the 2 to 5 kHz area carefully. This is all about making room for the drums. Then utility. This is where you check width and mono compatibility. Keep the mid bass narrower than you think you need. If it starts feeling facey, pull the width down and let the movement come from modulation instead of stereo spread. Now for the fun part, movement. The key here is not to modulate everything at once. That's the fastest way to make the bass feel messy. Instead, think in layers of motion. One slow-changing element, one rhythmic element, and one event style change. Use Wavetables modulation tools, and also use clip automation where it makes sense. For instance, you can let Wavetable position drift slowly over two bars. That gives the bass a sense of breathing. Then have the filter cut off pulse rhythmically, maybe every eighth note or in phrase-based rises. And then add occasional drive spikes on important accents or in the second half of a phrase. That combination works really well in DNB, because the arrangement is all about small contrasts. A tiny shift every bar or two can make a loop feel like it's progressing without needing a whole new sound. As an example, try this kind of setup: slow Wavetable movement across two bars, a more noticeable filter pulse tied to the groove, and a little extra drive in the back half of the phrase. That kind of layered modulation feels intentional and musical. Now let's make the phrase more edit-friendly. Duplicate your two-bar loop out to 8 bars. In those 8 bars, create 4 different mini-sections. The first 2 bars can be your main groove. Bars 3 and 4 can add a pickup note or a small variation. Bars 5 and 6 can remove one note to create space. Bars 7 and 8 can open up with a higher answer or a slightly more aggressive variation. This is the kind of phrasing that works so well in jungle and modern DNB, because it keeps the bass behaving like a chopped sample. It can repeat, interrupt itself, and answer back. That's very much in the spirit of edit style arrangement. Also, don't be afraid to use note length as a musical tool. A slightly clipped phrase can feel more urgent. A slightly longer note can feel like it's leaning back. Changing note length from section to section often gives you more impact than changing pitch. At this point, it's a really good idea to resample. Create a new audio track and set it to resample or route the bass track into it. Record a few bars while your automations are moving. Don't wait for it to be perfect. In fact, slightly imperfect prints often give you the best material. Weird tails, clip transients, uneven modulation all become useful when you start editing audio. Once you've recorded it, grab the best one bar or two bar moments and slice them. You can cut directly in arrangement view, or you can bring the audio into simpler and use slice mode if you want to trigger pieces from MIDI. Transient or beat-based slicing usually works well for this kind of material. Now you can turn those bass prints into fills, stutters, reverses, and turnarounds. Reverse a tail into a transition. Chop a hit before the snare. Repeat one slice 3 times to create a fill. Mute a slice to create tension. This is where the sound stops being just a bass patch and starts becoming part of the arrangement language. Let's check the low-end discipline. On the sub-chain, keep it mono. If needed, use utility to force the width to 0. Avoid overdriving the sub into wobble or distortion. It should stay stable and dependable. On the mid-chain, make sure the high end doesn't clutter the mix and check the overlap around the low mids. If the kick and bass start fighting, the first place to look is usually the 90 to 160 Hz range on the mid layer. That area can get crowded fast. Do a mono check. Collapse the bass group to mono and listen. If the sound gets thin or disappears, especially because of unison or stereo spread, reduce the width and detune. In DNB, mono compatibility is not optional. A bass that sounds huge in headphones but collapses on a club system is a problem. Now let's arrange it like a proper drop. Don't treat the bass like a loop that repeats forever. Treat it like a section that evolves. For example, you might start with a filtered tease, then bring in the main drop phrase, then add a variation with a bit more movement, and then finish with a fill or a bass stop leading into the next section. For jungle, make sure the bass locks into the stronger snare accents from the break, but leave a tiny pocket of space after the snare so the drums can still lead. For rollers, you can place some bass hits slightly behind the kick for a bit of push and pull. For darker or more neuro-influenced sections, open the filter over one bar and then snap it shut again for impact. Use automation to create that open-then-clamp feeling. A quick filter opening before a drop, a short rise in drive or resonance during tension, or a tiny width shift before the return can make the arrangement feel engineered rather than looped. A few common mistakes to watch for here. Don't overmodulate everything. One main movement source per layer is usually enough. Don't make the mid bass too wide. Save the width for higher textures or effects. Don't let the mid layer carry too much low end. Separate the sub and keep the job clear. Don't write notes too long just because you want more energy. Often shorter notes with better modulation feel heavier. And don't ignore the break. Always audition the bass against the drums. If the bass sounds great by itself but fights the groove, the rhythm needs work. Here's a useful way to think about the sound design. The sub is the foundation, the mid-bass is the attitude, and the edits are the arrangement energy. If all three are working together, the bassline feels alive. If you want to push it further, try making three performance states out of the same rack. One state can be tight and dry for the main groove. Another can be more open and driven for tension. A third can be darker and narrower for breakdowns or pre-drop bars. You can map those ideas to macros so you can switch character quickly while writing. You can also build a push phrase and a pull phrase. One should feel slightly ahead of the beat with sharper attacks and shorter notes. The other can sit a little back with longer tails and less filter movement. Alternating those gives the drop movement without needing a totally new sound. And if you really want that edit's energy, create a ghost layer. Duplicate the mid-bass, lower its level, and process it more aggressively. Then bring it in only on select hits or transition bars. That shadow energy can make fills feel huge without cluttering the main pattern. Here's your quick practice challenge.